Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, why go to church? Father, we thank you for this time. I pray, God, you'll help me to be teaching what you want communicated. Holy Spirit, give us hearts and ears to hear it and to understand it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I'm going to have to probably pare some of this down. This is a very basic message. I'm not going to share anything deep and revolutionary with you today. It's just kind of a reminder and kind of a statement to get it out there that there is an importance to going to church and being the body of Christ. That is the way God designed us. And it's really been hitting me recently. Everybody I talk to, every pastor, every Christian, people that go to this church, that church, all over the place, here, friends in California, everywhere, I hear the same story, that church attendance is down. It is lower than what it was several years ago. And everybody says, you know, it just we never came back after COVID and all those kind of things. And it just concerns me that we, and I know that, you know, everybody went to doing it online and all that kind of stuff at that time, and we still continue to put it out there. And I just want to say that if there are people out there that physically can't make it to church, I understand. I'm not trying to be critical of you at all. Thank you for making an effort to watch it online. But one, physically, if you can go and be a part of the body of Christ, we're supposed to do that. And two, if there's somebody that you know that can't get to church on their own, but they could get to church with help, then we should be helping them. And I put myself out there. If you're local here and you're seeing this and you need to help and you'd be happy to come to church, we can make that happen. We can figure that out. But everybody, again, it just strikes me more and more and more I hear that people are, church attendance is down, people haven't come back, and they've just drifted away. And there's for some people, there's one specific reason that they've stopped going to church. For other people, there's multiple reasons. Obviously, as I said, COVID is one of them. A lot of people stayed home and churches shut down, and I just was watching an interview with John MacArthur, pastor of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California. They had a big battle with the state of California. That is my one regret. I wished I would have been pastoring still in California during COVID, because I absolutely would have either been sued or in jail or something, but there's no way I would have shut down like so many churches did. And John MacArthur didn't. And he just won a statement, or he just won a settlement they did of $3.5 million from the state of California. So that was pretty cool. And not only that, as a part of their fighting, he was saying they kept dragging it out and dragging it out. And finally, the church demanded, "We want a trial." Well, with a trial, all kinds of testimony and discovery takes place. You get to find out about all what was going on and what the government and the state was up to. So as soon as, within 24 hours after they demanded to say, "Hey, this thing needs to go to trial," the state tossed out the case. Because they didn't want discovery. They didn't want testimony. Not only that, as a part of their settlement, they paid the $3.5 million, and they have it stated that the state of California can never come against Grace Community Church with any kind of legal action ever again. So that just tells you about the nonsense that was going on that the state and the government was trying to pull. So, but a lot of churches did. They shut down. And you know what that message that sent? When churches shut down for months, 6 months, a year. I know churches that shut down for a year. You know what message that says to everybody? It says, well, church isn't that important. That's the message that was sent. Gee, shocker when people don't go back to church after the church gets done telling you, oh, I guess church isn't that important. We'll just take 6 months off. We'll take a year off. So there's a lot of different reasons. There's reasons, you know, social media now. Everybody does things not in person, but we're in the social media culture. So we are used to the isolation that comes from being on social media and not dealing with people face to face. People are just generally fed up with what's going on in our country and the way government's running things and running things into the ground. They're fed up with telling us that boys and women can change places and men can have babies. And I mean, they're just fed up. People are sick and tired of all of this kind of stuff. I think about the whole stuff that's being put out there. Every time we turn around, they're telling us there's aliens and stuff. Okay, folks, there are no aliens, okay? Now, if you want me to get more into detail about that, I'll be happy to talk to you about it. But there are no aliens. But when you put that out there, people start to question, well, if there are aliens, then is what we read in the Bible really true? I mean, God created us. We don't read about him creating anybody else. But if there's really aliens, then maybe, I guess, the Bible isn't true. It makes you question all of these things. We don't have science anymore. We have some other weird thing that they just call it, like science. You know, I don't even know what it is anymore. And it makes people question the biblical truths that we have all been taught and learned. And for us, hopefully, we've experienced. We question creation over these things. In the midst of all these things, people believe that you know, they don't know what to believe, actually. But at the same time, it's interesting, a lot of people, like I mentioned a week or so ago, that have never been religious, they've never been people of faith, are starting, in the midst of all this craziness, become people of faith. And yet, at the same time, people who have grown up as people of faith are moving away from it. I don't really understand that. But the people that have not been people of faith, they understand. Their response to the craziness of this world is, we need to turn to God. Even though they've never done that before, now that they're facing this crazy world, they're saying, we need to turn to God. And today I want to make a biblical case that they're right. It is important that we be a part of a church body. So let's go back to where I opened at Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Verse 25 makes it very clear. You know me. I read the Bible. I believe it says what it means, and it means what it says. And what does it say? That we should not stop meeting together. End of it. That's the end of it. I don't need to go on. I don't need to theologize, philosophize. You know, I don't need to. It says it. That's it. Because there's purpose of why we meet together. Let me just say this, and I say this with all love and grace, but there is no such thing as attending church online. Now, that doesn't bother any of you, but it might bother somebody that watches this. Because what did I just read? Don't stop meeting together, because God has designed us to meet together as a body. And we get a little glimpse of it right here. Now, again, if you can't make it to church, then I'm glad that church is online available for you. But you're not attending church when you watch a service online. And it may be, you may hear the greatest message ever preached streaming on Facebook from some church. That's great, but you're still not attending church. A church is a definite, specific thing defined by God, and it requires meeting together. And we're told why in verse 24. It said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We are so much more likely and able to encourage one another, spur one another on. It's hard for me to spur you on, or for you to spur me on, when we're not in contact with each other. Amen? How are you going to spur me on to good deeds and love when we are not seeing each other, when we're not spending time together, when we're not knowing each other? That happens when we meet together. So we're told that there is reason. And this is just a little glimpse. Like I said, I've got way more here than I can get through of why the Bible tells us it's important that we meet together. Trying to figure out, I'm going to have pauses here because I'm trying to figure out what I can leave out. I'm going to skip over a bunch of notes. Let's go on to Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Romans 12, 4 and 5. There's all kinds of language in the Bible that can only be fulfilled when we are physically meeting together. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we see here, none of us have anywhere close to all of the giftings that Christians need. All the things that God intends us to do and be as different body parts, the functions, the giftings, all, nobody has all of it in and of themselves. He says, we're a body. They have many members. This is so hard. I wish that there was some way to illustrate this, but you look at me and you see my physical body. I do the same with you. But in God's eyes, this is not a body. All of us together make up, or at least begin to make up, a body. Because we're only a body part. God sees. I won't guess which body part God sees when he looks at me. But it's not the whole body, okay? That's what it says. We are made up of many members, and we don't have the same function. I have need of all of the functions. I have need of all of the functions of the parts that make up my body. But he says, you, as an individual, don't have all of those functions. So the only way I can get those functions is to be joined with other parts of that body. If you have a gifting that I don't have, I need that. It's a function within the body. And I don't have it. So what do I need? I need you people that have hospitality and mercy and those kind of giftings. Those are spiritual gifts. I can tell you, and my family can tell you, I don't have those. I really need you. And with you around me, you can soften me up and make me appear like less of a hard, cold-hearted, no good, you fill in the blank. But without people like you around to help me stay a little bit softened, I can really come across that way. Can I get an amen? That's why I need you. And you know what? When I see it in you, when I see your grace, when I see your mercy, when I see your hospitality, I recognize it and go, oh, that's good and that's important. And I should be, at least try to be a little bit kinder and a little bit gentler, because I can see the benefit from seeing you guys carry, you know, do it. That's a body part. I need that. I need those. You have some, or there's some that you need that you don't have, but we form a body. We can't form a body. If you take your body and chop it all up and spread the body parts around, that's not a body. Those are just parts. Amen. So we belong to each other as Christians. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here he tells us, we are required, tells us in verse 12, these gifts prepare us to do what? Works of service. God expects his children to do works of service, to serve others, to serve our communities, to serve people in our lives. We are expected to do works of service. But God gave us various people with giftings to prepare us to do those works of service. Amen? He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to do what? To prepare us to do works of service. Now, let me ask you this. Are you an apostle? Is that your gifting? Are you an evangelist? Are you a pastor? Are you a teacher? Are those your giftings? If not, and most of us would say no, then guess what you need to do? You need to go to a body of believers where those various gifts exist, and by being in the midst of that body, get from all of those different gifts so that you can carry out the requirement of doing works of service. I probably should just stop right now, because you get it, right? I can go on and on and on and on about why it's important to meet together as the body of Christ. You can't get this, you can't get it sitting at home. And you may watch a half a dozen church services by watching it online. Say, well, I can go to church only once, but if I watch it online, I can watch a half a dozen different services. Great! Great teaching. Fantastic. You know what you still need to do? Go attend a church service and be a part of a body of believers, because the Bible says so. And there's certain things that can be accomplished there that can't be accomplished no matter how good the half a dozen services you stream online is. And if you aren't being prepared to do works of service, then guess what? We are being disobedient, because God says that that's what we need to do. I am going to cut this way down, and because I think you get it, and I don't need to, but I just want to make sure if there's anything else I want to highlight. Ephesians 4:16 says, "For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." The fact that Ephesians 4:16 describes the body being joined and held together tells me that we need to join and come together. Does that seem logical? I know, I'm just simple and straightforward, but I mean, we can over-theologize Scripture. It's simple. It tells us exactly what it means. And it says that this will, and we are the ligaments. We are the sinews and that help hold this whole thing together. If we're not here, anybody ever missing a muscle or a ligament that holds something in place? It's just flat. If you're missing, then there's some body part, other body parts that you're supposed to be connected to, that you're helping hold them in place, that they're not being held in place because you are missing. We need to be more, assertive about this and telling people you need to be there because you're needed, and we need you. You need us. We're held together. That's the function that we play. And without you being there, then somebody else isn't getting what they need, because you're a ligament that holds somebody else in place, but they're not there because you're not there. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. I think this is really critical. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were meeting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It says what? They were all together in one place. And what happened when they were all together in one place? God's Spirit came and moved. It blew through that place. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit cannot meet you alone in your house or wherever, okay? I'm not saying that. But we are much more, we exponentially increase the move and the presence of the Holy Spirit when we're all together. That just makes sense, right? Maybe you're here today and you're just not feeling it. But somebody else here, they are. And they came and they're charged and they're ready to go and worship. You are not going to probably really usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? So that means if you're by yourself, Holy Spirit ain't showing up. But if Betty next to you, she came fired up and prayed up and she's ready to go, guess what? Holy Spirit's showing up and you happen to be sitting next to her. So guess what? You get to come into contact with Holy Spirit too. We need to be together to create that environment for God's Spirit to move. You know, I was just thinking about this. I had to preach every word of this sermon. I worked my rear end off. I spent hours preparing this. I worked while we were gone, going away. Judy went to bed and I worked. But I won't, because I love you. I'm having. They need mercy to hear me preach? Is that what you're saying? As is possible. I'm trying to begin. First Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. I'm sorry, that's just, you. If God wants this to be the state of the church, this is going to be incredibly difficult when we're all separated and never come together. How can you be united in mind and thought if you never meet, if you never communicate, if you never talk, if you never share with one another? How is that possible? God wants no divisions amongst us, and yet we're all off doing our own thing. These passages, one after another, are just mutually exclusive to not being joined to a body of believers. John 17:11 says, I will remain in the world no longer. This is Jesus speaking. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus is specifically praying to God the Father to help us be one body. Well, if Jesus says that we need to be one body, that we need to have this unity and come together, well, then I believe it. If he said it, then it's important. Amen? It's important. Romans 12:10-13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. He starts off, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devotion requires a giving of yourself to another person so that they are cared for. You devote, you give yourself to that. That's devotion, basically means giving of yourself in a committed way. How can you do that if you're never joined to other Christians? How can you give of yourself to another Christian if you never are joined with them? He ends it by saying to practice hospitality. Have you ever practiced hospitality to yourself? It doesn't happen, right? It takes other people in order to be hospitable. So if the Bible tells me, in fact, we even, not only are we told to be hospitable, practice hospitality, there is a gift of hospitality. How can you practice this gifting of the Spirit that God gives us if you're not around other people? Now, I know that some of you share these messages because we post them, you know. We don't do like a lot of churches, they stream online and just stream it out there. You know that we don't, because I don't want to make people sit through my ramblings up here of announcements and stuff like that. So I go back and we edit it and then I post it. And there are some weeks where we get like, you know, 10 views online. And there's other weeks we get 170 views online. And I know what that means is, it means if you liked it, you thought it was a really good message, and other people need to hear it, you need to share it. You share it, right? That's how other people see it. So we post it to our Facebook page, which is a link to YouTube, and then I also post it on Rumble. And so you can go there and you can find it and share it. Folks, you need to share this message. Whether it's doing anything for you or not, you need to share this message. Because people need to realize that there is a specific God-designed purpose for us to be together as a church body. Don't get, again, I don't sure. This is why I say maybe this message is dangerous to me, because a lot of people don't want to hear this. But this is what God's word says. I mean, I'm not up here making this stuff up. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says. And it's very clear that you can't do the things that God says if you're just off by yourself doing your own thing. Chris? Correct. I would say yes to that, but I would say yes. The small groups, and I know there are people out there watching this right now going, well, I meet together. I got a group of six ladies and we meet together in my house. Good. That does not replace this. We should do those things. You should all be here on Wednesday night for Right Now Media Bible Study, okay? You should all come to Camp Clay, okay? And those times we join together. Those things, though, whether it be your home group, ladies' Bible study, whatever, they don't replace this. I didn't put it in here, but I'm reminded in the book of Acts, it talks about the Bible, it talks about the disciples doing miracles and signs and wonders and all this amongst the believers. And they all met together. All of the Christians in the city of Jerusalem met together on a regular basis on Solomon's colonnade, which was a portion of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. They would meet there. Now, within the city of Jerusalem, they had house churches, if you will. Groups of 20, 30 people would meet together. Those house churches had pastors, okay? And those were their churches, their smaller groups that they met together. But on a regular basis, every Christian in the city of Jerusalem came together with the apostles leading them, meeting on Solomon's colonnade. They did this regularly. Why? Because it's important that we not stop meeting together. Because when I think about it in that passage, it says that, again, signs and wonders and miracles were happening. Well, then I think about, oh, they all showed up. And because there were so many of them there, the Holy Spirit really showed up and the supernatural happened. So, yes, those groups are important, but they are not to replace the joining together of the entire local body of believers, however, you know, you define that. So let me close with this. Hebrews 13:1 says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers." Keep on loving each other as brothers. Love requires an action. Love is a verb. You have to do something. You cannot. It's difficult to love others, to do something, to take an action to demonstrate your love for them if you're never around them. How do you do that? How do you carry out an act of love towards a brother and sister in Christ if you're not ever with them? 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms." Again, this is what I just said. We serve each other. We are supposed to continue to use the gifts God's given us to serve others. There are certain gifts that you have that you just cannot use them unless you are in contact with people. You cannot do it in the exclusion of your own home, there by yourself. If we are instructed to use these gifts serving one another, that only happens when we are around our brothers and sisters. And finally, the most obvious passage, maybe Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Okay, it only says two or three. Okay, great. But how much better would 20 or 30 or 200 or 300 be? If God is in our midst because several people join together and agree, then it goes back to, the moving of the Holy Spirit. When we join together, the more of us, the more powerful the move of the Holy Spirit is. God is in our presence. The more, I've been in large gatherings. Maybe you've never been in a really big church service. I mean, I've been in services where there's, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 people all together in one place worshiping. And I can remember, and I remember this years and years ago describing it this way. When we were in meetings of 5,000 people in Toronto, Canada, you could feel heaven move. That's the way I described it back 30 years ago. Because you could. I didn't, without ever thinking about any of this, it's like, you can feel the heavens moving with all of these people coming together and worshiping and agreeing in prayer. That's what it does for you. So if two or three is good, then 2,000 or 3,000 could be a whole lot more powerful. Amen. Why do we go to church? We do it to receive support and encouragement from one another and build one another up as instructed by God. We do it to serve our fellow believers. We do it to come together and glorify God. And in the midst of that, to see His Spirit move. And we do it ultimately to be in God's presence as a group of believers. That's why we go to church. It's so important. Forsake not the gathering together of yourselves, as some are in the habit of doing. Hebrews 10:25, King James Version. King James is easier to memorize. Amen. So, God tells us. God said it, that settles it. Amen. That's why we go to church.